Yeah, you got Al Michaels talking about his dick and jerking off to Asian porn. I mean, it would be kind of weird.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Welcome back to another DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Emilio. We got Bobby over here.
I thought I was doing the intro.
Chad's hanging out, not really participating.
Nope, it's just me in the corner.
But here we are. So let's all get caught up. I did a review giveaway. If you're wondering what that is, if you go onto iTunes and review us, you can win forever, basically. You're entered. You just have to do one thing once, and it's like an eternal raffle ticket. As long as we exist, you are entered. This week, Big Beans won.
Congrats.
Yeah. So he's going to get a $20 gift card. I've got another one of those to give away. I don't know how I'm going to do that. And we have a Steam link that or a code that will give away everything Valve's ever given away.
Yeah.
And I think for that one, we're going to do something special because I think that one should go to somebody who has a friend that's starting to get into PC gaming,
exactly.
Or is a just bought a rig, or doesn't know where to start. That it's an orange box plus them.
Yeah,
yeah, because you get CS:GO.
CS:GO, you get
Dota 2 with probably some stuff.
Yeah,
or whatever. It's free.
Half-Life 2.
Yeah,
Portal 2.
Although there's no reason to play Half-Life
TF2
now that Black Mesa's out there. But yeah, so you get all that stuff.
So how are we giving this away?
I'm thinking just write in and
let us
know. Yeah, tell us what your buddy, what your situation is, and whoever has the best situation.
Yeah.
That sound good?
Yeah.
Cool.
And if you yourself have just getting into video games or whatever, then we could give it away to you. But probably not. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably played a few video games in your life.
Yeah.
You probably own quite a few of the Valve games already, so.
For sure. So
let's should just, we talk about what we did this week?
What did we do?
I think we just did.
Did we? Because I got a little late night gaming sesh that I'm going to talk about a little bit later. But I was up almost to Bobby's morning time playing a game. So, which doesn't happen too often to me anymore.
Cool.
All right.
Upcoming games. Final Fantasy IX is coming out. Never even came close to playing this game. I don't even know what it's about. I don't even know if it's good.
Is this a remake, right?
Or no, just coming to Steam.
Oh, coming to Steam. Gotcha.
Yeah. It seems like all the Final Fantasy games are coming over little by little. I mean, do you want to play 9 without playing 8? Do you want to play 5?
My understanding is, and I haven't played a bunch of Final Fantasies, but my understanding is they're not really related to each other. They're all...
Yeah, the story's not connected in any of them.
So you can play 9. But I still haven't played 7, which is considered probably the...
Quintessential
Final Fantasy. But they're doing, like, the HD version coming out in a little bit, right? Or the remake. It's not an HD version. They're just doing a straight remake of Final Fantasy 7. So that's the one I'm going to play.
And I promise I'm not being racist here. I'm just so over Japanese stuff. Japanese content.
Sounds like the definition of racism.
No, well, they're gaming. It's just like their culture. I feel like when we were kids, the American video game industry dropped the ball. And the Japanese picked up the ball. And we thought it was the greatest shit ever because it was the only shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like millions of people used to watch The Love Boat. Not because it's a good show. It was literally, there's three channels.
Yeah.
So you had to watch The Love Boat. We had to play Japanese games. What? So we're kind of inundated with it. But now I play Japanese games. I was like, why is this so strange?
Yeah.
It's so out there.
I think they've just stagnated. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They didn't progress while other groups were moving forward. So back in the day, it was new and progressive, but now it kind of feels dated.
Yeah, a lot absolutely. Of their games. And, you know, it's just a cultural thing. I don't understand what you're saying here. Like, go ahead and try to understand the first 20 minutes of Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. It's just, it's a cultural differences.
Do you think they go through the same thing with for us? Do they just?
I don't think they play American games. To my knowledge, I don't think they do.
I mean, Xbox failed miserably kind of over there.
Well, they, you know, they have to use their whole bodies to use an Xbox controller.
Yeah, that's true. So
it's a giant controller. I have to push Y. It's kind of like a Twister for them. Like those big controllers, big American controllers. We're talking about controller size, folks.
Yeah.
The Xbox is considerably larger for American hands than, because we're fatties.
Yeah, we are. Not us personally, but anyway, we know a guy. But
so basically, Final Fantasy IX failed because Japanese sucks or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Is that the takeaway from it?
What's the last good Japanese game you guys? Oh, I guess Metal Gear Solid.
Well, yeah, there's been good ones out there. I mean, there are some cultural differences, but that doesn't mean it can't be a good game.
No, I'm just, but I'm tired of that, getting past that, like that thing, and then that cultural difference, and then a good game. Hmm. Or otherwise, just a good game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a good game despite these things that I have to deal with. I don't know. I'm just, done. Done. What was that like one that you zombies. Played? Bobby, it was a Capcom game, and it was like a horror game.
But oh.
The Redout?
No.
Was it the one where...
It was kind of like Resident Evil, would it?
Yeah. What was that one? It was by the dude.
Spider Girl, I said I'd bang
the it. Evil Within?
No, yeah. The Evil Within.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Was that, like, overly weird?
No, not really.
He's disagreeing with you at this point.
No.
It's called Yes And, dude.
Yes And. All right, let's go to the next one. Right. Come on.
All right, Devil Dagger. This is a game I've heard a lot of people talking about on podcasts and through different streams of media, but it's a very simple game. It's $5 on Steam, and it's like Quake or some of these old 90s shooters, but you just last as long as you can. They throw you into this arena with all these enemies that just come at you, and you have to survive as long as you can. I think you only have two weapons. Really simple, really basic, but... A lot of people have been saying it's a lot of fun. Overwhelmingly positive reviews.
So is this game already out?
Yeah, it came out, I think, just a few days ago.
Did you buy it, Bobby?
No, but I think I might after hearing so many people talk about it.
Good, I'll let you do it.
Yeah, that does not appeal to me at all.
Oh, no, dude, it totally... It's kind of like...
The art style is kind of cool.
It's not a roguelike, but every time you die, your score is posted to the world boards. Regardless, you can't say yes or no. It just goes on there.
Okay.
You can see where you scored. And let's say you scored, if you last 1 second longer than the first time, you can move up 500-600 spots because all these people are trying to do this. And
it's kind of addictive. You're trying to like
beat
go for your personal best and then just also move up in rank.
5,000 seconds was the or 500 seconds was the a
500. 500 seconds?
It was either 500 or 5,000.
Yeah, it's supposed to be brutally hard.
Yeah. And only half of the game has been unlocked. There's like a lot to it. And there's only one achievement, which is like, who knows what it is. And nobody knows how to get it. There's like a lot of mystery around it. So,
yeah.
For only $5, I mean, I'd check it out.
Yeah, not my style of game. What else we got?
And Chad's not interested. The Sentient. I just saw that on Steam. It's a... It seemed to me like it's a kind of like a, what do you call the roguelike that's top down? That's FTL.
Oh.
Kind of like FTL, but instead
that's considered top down?
It's top down, right? Well, yeah. I mean.
It's like a two-dimensional aerial view.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Bobby, for clearing that up for us. But you play as the AI as opposed to playing as the captain. And you're trying to keep these stupid humans alive.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was an interesting twist. So, don't know much about it yet. It's coming out this week.
Still in early access.
Okay. The graphics are a little, but I like the idea. And we're all about good ideas over here.
Okay. I'll give that a maybe.
I have to change up my Far Cry Primal thing. I don't know why. Last week I said I thought it was coming out in like 2 or 3 days. And it was going to be $30. Totally wrong in both counts. It actually comes out... on the 5th of March.
Let me double check that.
I think it was it's the 1st.
I think it's March 1st, yeah.
Okay. Because some people are preloading. And it's a $60 game. So I hope I get $60 worth of content. I haven't bought a game in probably 2 months or so. I think I'm going to have to pick this one up.
And have you already pre-ordered it? Is it already bought?
There's no bonuses for pre-ordering. Uh-huh. So I'll probably wait for initial reviews. But like I said, this is one of my favorite time periods. So.
Yeah. They've been doing some advertising, you know, video advertising and on YouTube and stuff like that. It seems interesting.
Oh, yeah. And I got some interesting story about Ubisoft later on.
Okay, cool. What else we got? We got some Blue Blaze game. I only bring this up because it's a popular series, and none of us, I don't believe, have ever played this kind of game.
Now, is it Blue Blaze or is it Blaz Blue or Baz Blue?
It might be that one.
Oh, man.
Blaz Blue.
Is it Blaz Blue?
I'm pretty sure because I've seen, this isn't the only game under that title, right?
Yeah. This is another one.
Okay, yeah, BlazBlue.
Way to bring it home, Chad, again, with naming the wrong thing.
If somebody hadn't deleted my list, we would know exactly what it is. Who was that?
Oh, my God. You can't take anything we say seriously. We're messing up the names, the release dates, the prices.
Yeah, only he's messing up the release dates and prices. What else we got? So this is a note for you guys.
So what'd you say?
Do you guys have any interest
in
this?
I've never heard of it ever before.
Really? It's like a fighting game?
Yeah. I've seen people cosplay this shit, too.
Yeah. It's like a big deal. It's a big deal for a lot of people, but none of us have ever played it. You know, like, it reminds me kind of like Counter-Strike GO, where a ton of people are way into it. Or
you didn't give me anything. I don't know if it's an RPG, an action.
It's a fighting game.
Oh, 2D? I mean, like Street Fighter?
From my understanding, yeah.
Okay. No.
Okay. Next one.
Narcosis.
This is a survival horror under the sea. It reminded me of Subnautica, but there's no light because you're in the bottom of the sea. And so it's real dark and ominous.
Everything's in black and white, sort of?
Not black and white, but it looks like you can only see a couple feet in front of you.
Oh.
So I was thinking Bobby might like this.
Huh.
Because it seems very creepy.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's a no for me.
Yeah. It seems creepy, right?
Right off the bat.
Spring 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
Bobby's all about it.
And the last one, Black Desert Online. This is an MMO game. I think it's coming out of the East. It's been getting pretty favorable reviews. And I'm in the mood for an MMO. So I think...
What happened to the last one that you really liked?
I got to level 20. It caps.
What was it called?
Blade and Soul.
Blade and Soul, yeah. You like that one?
Yeah, it was decent. I didn't have anybody playing with me, so it didn't like hook me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to probably pick up Black Desert Online, give it a go too. I guess I'm the MMO guy.
I feel like The Division is going to be our game.
Yeah. And The Division comes out next week, so we can talk a little bit about
that. And that's $60 all around too. So we can't share online experiences. Bobby, if we both buy it, you're going to have to buy it, right?
I don't know.
Fucking asshole, dude.
Am I the only person that wasn't blown away by that game during the beta?
I didn't even play it.
I wasn't blown away, but I think there's definitely potential there. And I like MMOs. I like looting shit. And I like shooting and an MMO in one. Yep. You know?
I don't like the shooting part, but I like the MMO part, so I'm probably going to get it. All right, let's get into actual games we've actually played and know something about.
Yeah. I hope we can talk about this. There's no NDA.
There's no NDA.
Right?
No.
Okay. Cool. So we all got into the Atlas Reactor beta? Alpha. Early alpha, they said.
It was, an alpha.
Yeah. I would say it's like beta.
It's pretty polished.
It's pretty polished out. Mm-hmm. The worst part about it was getting into a game, I would say.
They don't have a very big stable of characters. So that's the only reason why I would say it's not.
Yeah.
In beta, yeah.
So we'll run down really quickly what it is. This is a turn-based strategy where four players are against four other players, and they're kind of like in a paintball type of arena where there's just, you know, structures for the sake of being structures.
Yeah.
And you're kind of so you're only controlling one character, that's you, and you make your move, and then it all plays out at once. It doesn't play out all at once, but it might as well. It goes one by one and shows everybody's, but it happens at the same time.
Yeah. So it shows individual attacks, but in the game world, they're all happening at the same time. They just show it individually so you can see what's going on.
What do you think if they would have played the whole thing in slow motion for everybody and it would take less time?
Too much, why not? I don't know, maybe.
Who knows, right? So, Bobby, how much did you play of this?
Not very much. I played the tutorial, maybe a game or two after that.
Did you think the learning curve was steep?
No, I picked it up fairly quick. I looked at it more as a card game because the card games that I played in the past, they all have phases. And you have your deployment phase, you have your attack phase, you have your movement phase, and that's kind of how this game is. You have different phases. The hook on this game is it's a turn-based strategy game, but there's no downtime. You don't have to wait for other people to take their turn.
And it's multiplayer.
Yeah. And that's true to a certain extent, but there still is a little bit of waiting here and there. But it is fairly quick-paced compared to other games that share the genre. But there's four different phases in this, right?
Yeah.
And the phases, one of them happens at the same time. So if you choose to move or dodge, I can't remember which
path. So it's a planning phase, which happens simultaneously. It's a dash phase, which happens simultaneously. Then it's a blast phase, which is your attack phase.
And that's the turn-based.
That happens individually.
Yeah.
And then the move phase, which happens simultaneously. Yeah. The only one that does it individually is the blast phase.
Okay.
And that's just so you can see the different attacks that people are doing, so you can know if things are on cooldown or whatever.
Yeah. And that's tricky because if you shoot at somebody, that is... you may not hit them because they may have already moved, but you've already told your character to shoot in that direction.
I think we try to explain this for the next 5 minutes. It's not going to work.
It's
kind of complex. If you've ever played Magic the Gathering, it's kind of like that where instants happen before sorceries, but it's
like XCOM 2, you know, like
at the end of the day, it's like XCOM except for every character is a different person actually collecting. For some reason, I had a really hard time with this game.
Yeah, he was fucking terrible. My life up. In the alpha that we played, if you won one game, you got a character alive. And then if you won three in a row, you got a skin for that character. And so every time I played by myself, I won. And Amelia would come lumbering in and start shooting in the wrong direction. I'm like, what aren't you getting? This is a simple game. Like, you make your moves and then it plays out. I don't know. So he was fucking my world up. But we did eventually get three wins in a row. So,
well, what's the idea with this game? Is it going to be free to play and then there's things that you can buy? Because it looked like there were some sections cut out of it that weren't available in the alpha, but it looked like there was a store where you can
purchase. Most of the stuff from them is free to play, right?
This was from Epic, right? No, from
Trion.
Trion,
which is the glyph.
Yeah,
glyph. Whatever
launcher. The glyph launcher. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about the pricing on it. I actually really like this game. Did you guys give it a go? Or
when I was watching you play, I was like, "This is fantastic! This is the greatest thing that's ever happened." Once I got my hands on it and I muddied the waters with my 10 thumbs. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, every game that I played, I got a little better, but because we got your three games.
Yep.
So, but I was not effective. I was definitely the worst on the team. So, I think it's a very cool concept.
You were struggling because you were still thinking XCOM.
Yeah, I just played XCOM that day. So, you know, And I always move then shoot in that game. In this game...
Well, you have to in XCOM, because as soon as you shoot, that ends your turn, no matter how many action points you have left.
And this is completely the opposite.
Yeah, you shoot.
You shoot, then move.
Yeah.
So, I was so...
It's almost like chess, though, because you lay it all out, and since the move happens last, like, that's the kind of board you work with. And the only way to avoid that is by using dash, which happens before the attack. But your dashes all have long cooldowns, so you have to be very strategic on, do I really need to escape now, or can I take the hit and worry about it later?
It's all a game of cat and mouse,
and
kind of like anticipating what your opponent's going
to
do.
The tank's running around trying to get people while other people are trying to run away from the tank, and then the healers and the supports are behind.
Can you punish dashes? Can you put a trap and then...
Trap is the first phase.
Oh, okay.
So if you throw a trap, it'll be down for any dash phase.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah. It's you do this, I might do that, he might do this, into infinity.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Well, as difficult as the game is, I felt that they did a really good job with the tutorial. The tutorial explains everything. It demos everything just like it should, and it only takes about 5 minutes. And after doing that, I had a really good understanding of how everything worked.
What will be interesting is the timer, because a turn timer was only like 10 seconds when you're playing. So you only have like 10 seconds to make a move. But if you're doing this competitively, you don't want to be talking to each other and stuff like that. So I'm not sure if 10 seconds would be enough. So I don't know if they need to change the timer for competitive. I liked it when we were playing just when we were playing it, because the turns were going quickly. So you know, it didn't feel slow at all. But I worry about you couldn't communicate with your team and decide strategy.
But if they're already done with their turn by chance, you can see what they were going to do by hovering over them.
Yeah, correct.
And so you could adjust by that. But that's on the caveat that they moved before you. Bob, did you like it?
Yeah, I liked the game. This isn't something that I'm going to be playing extensively, because it's the type of game that you have to really spend a lot of hours in and get involved in, learn the different characters, their moves, how to counter them. You know, it's one of those games.
It's definitely a MOBA type game.
Yeah.
Where you guys need
Yeah. Cause
I think so. Yeah.
If you didn't know the sniper had that big shot or you wouldn't know what was coming up. You thought you'd be safe, but the sniper can actually shoot through walls with one of his attacks. Mm. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. There's a lot to learn in this game, and I know a lot of people are really going to like this, and I think it's a really good game, but it's probably not something I'm going to be spending a lot of time with.
Too close to Heroes of the Storm, I got you.
Yeah. I already got one of those.
The biggest problem with that is that
it's not Heroes of the Storm. We seem to get that a lot. All right. Let's get into some highlights and lowlights for the week. You want to start us off, Emilio?
Sure. I played Hand of Fate, which was on my wish list, and then now that Bobby's games are open to me, for the first time ever. He had it, so I started playing it. Bobby, did you play it?
Hand of Fate? No, I haven't played this game.
It's pretty interesting. So think of Guild of Dungeoneering.
Okay.
But instead of like the fighting being kind of arbitrary, you actually go in and play an action. Okay, nobody played Guild of Dungeoneering. So
it's my understanding was this is a card game, but then once you go to the combat phase,
it's actual combat.
You go back into combat.
And it's like a weak form of Batman type
combo systems
with countering and pairing, but it doesn't look as good as
obviously.
But the presentation on this game pretty much sold me. The narrator, the guy who's dealing all the cards, and he deals them with magic. It looks really sweet, and his voice is pretty cool, and he fucking talks down to you the whole time. He's like, "All right, you're like the." You get this idea that he's immortal, and you were the, like, 10,000th guy to sit down.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, so we're going to do this. Okay, you made it kind of further than some of the people, but you're going to not make it past this one. So he's very condescending the whole time, which is cool. It acts to the character and stuff.
That is cool.
The production value is what sold me here. I like it. So you have a deck of, I don't know, something like 20 cards.
Okay.
And when you upgrade and you find something in the story, you can add that card to your deck and take a shitty card out. So the likelihood of you drawing the good card
raises up.
And then you just keep going this in perpetuity.
Okay.
And I also like...
Does it actually have a story, though?
It does. Well, there's this box of cards, and he calls them his, like, champions. And these are the people that he thinks... I don't know. He holds in high esteem or whatever. And you can challenge each one. It's a big box.
So become the head champion.
I'm a sucker for production value.
Which is what I call your mother.
Hey! And
sorry.
I really like the production value in this. And the combat's not bad. It looks pretty good. It looks there's this, you know, every time you do the same thing, every time you go to the shop, it just kind of takes, like, I wish there was a Don't Waste My Time mod for this one. Because you see the animation's great.
A lot of loading screens and stuff.
You see it 40 times. Yeah. You're like, okay, I've seen it. And it lets you skip past it. But no, I enjoy this game. I would recommend it to somebody who, if you don't care much about story, you just want to fight, but you also like random stuff. There's random stuff in the cards. So it's like luck plus skill.
Okay.
Yeah.
And right now it's going, this is, again, Hand of Fate. Now, how much is it going for on Steam right now?
It's $14.99.
$24.99.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's got to be on sale. I mean, there's a...
It goes on sale quite a bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't have paid full price for this. I probably got it in a Humble Bundle or something.
Yeah.
But okay. For the production value, I can see why it's $24.99.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a pretty game.
Yeah, decent reviews.
All right, what else we got going on this week? Oh, okay.
I've been waiting to hear. He hasn't even told me. I was like, why were you up till 5:30 in the morning?
All right, so when was that? Friday night, I think.
Sure. And you had already beat Lara Croft.
Yeah, which I'll talk about later. So I wanted to play a game, but I was also kind of in the mood to be frisky. So I said,
Jesus, where are we going here?
So I said, I want to play a more adult style game. So I've got Bobby's list. I got Tom's list. I'm not going to tell you who owns the game, but I decided to download this game called Honey Pop. Have you heard of this game?
No.
So basically,
it's pretty much Secure Spirit.
I don't know what that one is, but so basically, you're playing as this guy and this.
Is this a text adventure?
No, this love fairy says she's going to help you with score with women.
Okay.
And so part of the game is like interacting with these girls.
What type of game is this?
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Part of this game is like interacting with girls and like trying to answer questions that they pose for you, a video game version of flirting or whatever.
Okay.
And then when you go on dates with them, this is when the game occurs, and it's kind of a modification of the match three. So instead of only doing ones adjacent to the moving adjacently, though, you can move the whole row. You can move the whole row across. Anyways.
Sounds really hot so far.
I have no idea what you're talking about, dude.
It's a match three game. But so I started playing it, and then I got really hooked on actually playing the game.
Well, do you know what he means by a match three game? Like
Bejeweled.
Yeah, it's like a match three, but it's got a twist to it.
Like Bejeweled.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can use ones that are further than just adjacent.
But so, if you match three a bunch, you get to banger?
Well, the eventual point is to get enough interest from her that you eventually can sleep with her.
Okay.
But it was every time you are successful, it ratchets up how many points you need to succeed. So it's not you need a certain amount of points. And it gets harder and harder every time. And it was kind of like just addictive. Like, you get really close
to... Match 3 games are.
Yeah. So, and I don't play Match 3 games at all. Bejeweled, I've never played. I don't play Match 3 games. But I was just, like, really addicted to it, and...
Did you beat off to this game, Jed?
No. It's not... And plus, it's the Steam version doesn't have, like, full nudity.
Right.
You need to get the mod, which I did get to this, to get the full nudity. But,
I mean, I've seen better anime art.
Yeah. It's not...
It's okay.
Yeah. I was a little embarrassed playing it. I put myself...
I'm glad you told this story. Well, this is not entertaining for people listening, but I'm glad that you, like, thought that it was okay to say this.
I put it on offline mode so people wouldn't see me playing this
game. Geez, that bad? But now you announce it to the world?
Oh, well.
To the tens and tens of people listening?
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
only $9.99 or the deluxe version for $14.99.
And there's hundreds and thousands of you guys.
You get the original soundtrack in the deluxe
the
edition.
The sound was actually, and the voice acting was actually really well done in this. I don't know how they can.
In English?
Yeah. This is not a Japanese game.
What?
Look at the art. I'm fairly certain it's not a Japanese. Who developed this game?
This was developed by Honeypot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're a Japanese. I don't think they're a Japanese company. So anyways, I was up till 5 in the morning playing Honeypot, and there I said it.
You know, I spent many a late night playing Bejeweled long, long time ago when that game was actually relevant, but it was before the whole match three thing really took off, and before I realized, like, oh, these games are just pretty much garbage. Like, they're time killers, basically. But yeah, I had a lot of late nights.
They hijack your reward systems.
Yeah, that's what it's the same with like Farmville and everything else.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, we play real video games where, you know, there's a story. And whatever.
This had a very deep story, I'll have you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, did you get to bang anyone?
Yeah. So there's like nine girls that you're always, that you're trying to work on.
Yeah.
And if you get them all, then a Venus shows up, the boss of your love fairy.
Yeah.
And then you got to try to sleep with her.
Nice.
I didn't actually get that far. And then there's a hidden
voodoo pussy.
There's two hidden characters that I've unlocked one of them, but not both of them.
All right. Stop talking.
Okay.
I played Sonic All-Star Racing Transform.
All in caps. Yeah.
So it's a kart racing game. Very close to Mario Kart or something like that. They say All-Stars. I don't recognize any of these people.
Tails was there.
People, yeah.
And Knuckles. And that was pretty much
Sonic,
it.
Tables, Knuckles. And they had the Pyro from... Well, for some reason, Pyro and the Heavy are one guy. Or they're on one card. You're riding around as Pyro. And then if you power up or something, you turn into the Heavy for a little bit. It makes no sense. And there's a guy... Oh, there's a taxi driver from Crazy Taxi. Okay. Which was popular in the arcades.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other ones, I have no idea. No,
Crazy Taxi was Dreamcast.
Yeah, there's a lot of Dreamcast characters in this game.
Well, it's Sega, though.
Yeah, I talked about
Sega
this game.
Oh, you played this game.
Yeah. If you go back many episodes ago, I talked about this game 2.5 years ago because a friend of mine was down for winter break. Like, so it's around the holidays, Christmas time, and we were always trying to find good co-op games, and we stumbled on this one. And we went through a bunch of them, and like none of them really stuck. We got to this one. We ended up spending a lot of time playing this. I unlocked quite a bit of stuff. This is probably the best kart racing game I've played since the original Mario Kart on Super Nintendo. I don't really play a lot of those types of games, so maybe there's better ones out there. But I really did enjoy this game.
Yeah, it's good. I was playing with Sam, and, you know... split screen. And she wasn't very good. You know, so I was just taking first place the whole time.
Gotcha.
So, but there's...
Nice of you to let her win, though. That's very gentlemanly.
I need to assert dominance. But...
It's kind of like a map that you have to unlock, though. You go from track to track, unlocking each one.
Yeah. So you unlock the next tracks by getting points by placing... You know, so it makes you want to keep going back and getting better so you get more points.
And they aren't all races. Weren't there, like, some different maps where you just have to accomplish certain goals or, like, do certain things?
I didn't get that far. But I will say that these are some of the most inventive maps I've ever seen in kart racing. Almost to a fault because you don't know where to go sometimes because it gets so chaotic.
Sometimes you turn into a plane and just start flying.
You're a plane, you're a boat, and you're a kart. And they transform depending on what kind of... asphalt you hit. If you hit a big ass ramp, you turn into a plane and you're flying now and you're trying to go through things, and then you'll land and then you'll skip into some water, turn into a boat, and you gotta and each one comes with their own physics, so you have to kind of learn.
Handles a little differently.
Yeah. And you know, so I
do they have do the characters have different stats depending on, like,
yeah, some are better at accelerating
fast. I couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, they do. When you pick a character, it'll tell you what they're good at.
Yeah, yeah, they have all the stats on there. But I couldn't, I don't know. It's maybe because, you know, everybody looks small when you're on the top.
Yeah.
So I really never could tell. Because I had to put it down on low for her to, like, you know. So I think it might be the best kart racer on Steam. But that's only because I don't know about another kart racer on Steam.
I played another kart racer a couple months ago. I don't remember it, but it was absolute garbage. I don't even remember the name because it was so garbage.
Okay, cool.
So it's good to know that there is actually a decent kart racing game.
Then. Yeah. Bobby.
Steam has their Steam VR performance test now. It's free. It's a very small application. You download, you run, and it tells you if your computer is capable of using the Oculus or the Vive, and it gives you a rating. I believe it gives you an actual number. It gives you a meter, says not good, good, very good. But I think the number that I got was 10.8. So I'm on the very good scale. My machine is perfectly acceptable for running 3D or
VR.
Yeah, VR. But just thought that would be good for people to know. A little heads up if you want to know. Because everybody has been talking about this so much. And to me, it's not even an issue. People are just like, oh, you need this computer to run VR. It's like, dude, I just need that computer. Like, I've always needed a really high-end computer. So I've never really even thought about the fact that, oh, can my computer run VR? I've just figured, oh, yeah, of course it can. But they took a demo from Portal 2, I guess, and they just kind of show that off in 3D fashion. It takes like 5 minutes, and then it gives you a score. Interesting little tool.
Very similar to the other graphics evaluator that you...
Oh, 3D Mark. 3D Mark takes a lot longer to run. Oh, but okay. Yeah, that'll give you your overall performance. This one is specifically designed for VR. Okay. I guess the ideal frame rate is 90 frames or 95 frames a second. So as long as you can stay above that consistently, then yeah, you can run VR.
So the only thing you didn't play, or the only thing you played other than Heroes of the Storm this week was a stats
Atlas
test.
Reactor. He played two games of Atlas.
I played Atlas Reactor. We played Divinity. And I also played Hitman Blood Money and Hitman Absolution.
We've talked about it tons.
Yeah, what else
Divinity
can we say about that?
Divinity is so fucking fun.
Well, the enhanced edition.
Bobby's having fun pulling me along because I don't really contribute to the quests and stuff. I just kind of like jack off while he does all that. While we're in town, I'm kind of just running around looking at the sights, and he's doing work. But then when we go into combat...
You're still doing the same thing.
Well, it's equal.
Well, we've talked a lot about Divinity Original Sin, but this version, the Enhanced Edition, which is an entirely new game that you have to download and install. It has its own achievements, all that. I'm really starting... The more I play of it, the more I'm starting to notice the differences between the two. Not just they changed the cheese vendor voice. We're all very sad about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Is this? Are we going off on a
tangent? Yeah. Why?
Right, I'm going to put a bookmark right
okay.
where we're at,
guys. Okay. So the enhanced edition came out, right? And the cheese vendor was so endearing and so funny that we actually made a video. Check us out on DL Gaming
YouTube.
And
DLGaming.YouTube.
Yeah. And so it was so good that we put it on there because it's just funny. Okay, you come up with your enhanced edition. Why? At what point does somebody say that's so garbage? We need to get a new guy to do the same lines. I'm upset.
Yeah,
I'm upset.
We noticed this. You're not subtle about your.
Well, somebody explain it to me why this would happen.
I don't know. Was it actually good, or was it just so odd that you had to record it?
He did stand out in the marketplace.
Yeah.
But that's how you sell cheese.
Apparently.
Yeah. He was really pushing that cheese.
This guy sounds like a weak interpreter. You know how, like...
He's doing the exact same lines?
This is back in... Yeah, same, exact same lines. This is back in the day. But in Roseanne, one of the daughters changed.
They just got a new actress, right?
They got a new actress because she left for whatever reasons. And it's just not the same. Like, you took away... you didn't even talk about it. There should be a guy next to Gene Reznor trying to say, this is why we did this, but I don't know.
We should hit the developers and try to find
they spent money. You know, it's funny. I talked to them at E3.
Yeah.
Nobody was at their booth. I'm like, this is one of our favorite games of this year. And they're like, oh, cool.
This is before Cheesegate, though. So otherwise, you would have had some words for them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So pick your pin.
All right. So back to that bookmark here. So a lot of things have changed between these two versions, and we're finding out slowly what all that means. First of all, the game feels a lot more congealed. The quest system seems a lot more together and easy to follow. But we also noticed that the spell to summon ice elementals, which was something that we relied heavily on in the original.
It's my favorite spell.
Yeah, it makes it so much. It basically gives you another person to fight in your fight. He can tank, he can attack. It's just, it's so useful. And we kept trying to find this spell in the
Advanced
Edition.
That's what I was doing in town while he was doing quests. Yeah. Talking to every single NPC. Most of them just sold fish and eggs.
Like they normally do.
Oh, because everybody can sell. You can barter with anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
But we weren't able to find it, and then we found out that you can't even buy it in this one. Yeah, apparently you can still get it, but you cannot buy it, which makes sense because it was so powerful. But for every different area of spells, like your water spells, your earth spells, you know, each of those had an elemental that you could summon. So I'm surprised they got rid of that. So they have made a lot of changes to this game, but overall it is better.
I noticed it seemed more...
I think it looks better. Bobby...
Cartoony a little bit, or They added kind of a, what do you call it?
Cell shading?
Cell shading to it. It seemed like, I don't remember that being in the last one.
Graphically, it looks exactly the same.
Does no, it? It does not look exactly the same.
It looked like they had an outline that they didn't have
I feel
before.
Like when I'm talking to my girlfriend and she can't tell the difference between 720 and 1080.
Hmm.
For some reason, Bobby don't see it and I see it.
No. And I've even changed monitors since I've been playing it too. You know, I'm playing it at a much higher resolution with better colors. And yeah, I mean, it looks pretty much the same to me.
Huh. Yeah.
And we did like a video. We watched a video comparison video, didn't we?
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm not sure.
Or was that a different game? Okay.
I think it was a different game.
Moving on.
All right. And I played some Hitman games this weekend too, but there's not a whole lot to really talk about that. I originally started with Blood Money, which everyone says is the best one, but it's so old. It's 2006. And I got in there and I'm just like, I shot a guy and he just like flies upwards. Like, just like he was a robot. He was like stiff, like a Ken doll, and he just kind of flies upwards off screen. I was like, yeah, this might be a little too dated.
It's like a super weak version of Metal Gear Solid, right?
Yeah, right, something right? like that.
Mm-hmm. You're being stealthy and trying to hide bodies.
Well,
stuff, right?
I've never really played Metal Gear games, so I can't really draw that comparison. But yeah, heavy on the stealth.
I thought you played that game. The new
Metal
form.
Gear Solid? No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, remember he bought the other game?
Yeah, but, I bought...
Ground Zeroes.
No.
No, he bought... They both came,
The Witcher.
Came out.
The Witcher 3.
He bought Witcher 3 and not Ground Zeroes.
Bad call.
It is a really good game. And I heard this on the PC Gamer, so credit to them, but their ability to put a third-person combat game into a keyboard setting seamlessly, like they did such a good job of being able to control your guy with a keyboard and mouse in Metal Gear. Mm. It's, I don't think I've ever seen it done better, actually, for a third person.
Yeah, it's good. So I played a little mobile game this week. We don't talk about mobile too much.
About every week, recently.
Yeah, we have been a little bit. I'm still hooked on Galaxy of Heroes, but I wanted to give this Mortal Kombat X mobile a try. It had like a 4.4 on the Google Store. I tried it, and not really a big fan of it. It's one of those combat games, you know, they try to imitate a 2D fighter.
But with two buttons instead of
so
six.
It's basically you're mashing your screen.
Yeah.
Like, and so I didn't feel like there was any skill involved. So I don't know. It just wasn't pulling me in.
I played this a couple of months ago. I had the same
idea. Yeah. So that is definitely a no-go.
We agreed on something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat sucks.
And we agreed on the Galaxy of Heroes. We both enjoyed that one.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know why Bobby hasn't played it yet.
I'm going to delete this Mortal Kombat X and try the Tomb of the Mask, which you recommended last
Old
week.
Old school. Oh, man. It's really good sound design. Level design is kind of random.
This is Tomb of the Mask you're talking
about. Yeah. We're talking about you play this game while you take a shit. Really quick. You get in there. You die. You wipe. You get out.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tap Heroes. The key mailer sent me this game. Because they gave it to everybody on Keymailer. So I tried to evaluate this with the last game that I said it was fucking awful and it was overwhelmingly positive.
Plantera.
Yeah. So apparently there is a whole genre of game of just
the clicking
and
clicking.
I had no idea that this was a thing.
That's like the Lumberjack game is similar to that too, right? Oh, no, but you actually have to move left and right.
Or left and right, yeah.
Okay.
And this is kind of like an RPG in fast forward. You're leveling up super fast. You're attacking super fast. I found it super simplistic and kind of like wearing on my hand. Like, why am I... This is ridiculous. I'm no longer going to review these clicking games because I hate them. So it's not fair that I review them. So, Tap Heroes, if you like clicking a lot, fucking play it.
Well, Steam had that mini game they were doing last summer for their whole Steam Summer Sale event, and that was a clicking game. Yeah, it's a thing, not a good thing.
So I can't talk about Paragon because it is still under NDA, but I did get in to the alpha. So when the NDA comes out, I will get to tell you guys about Paragon.
I'm just going to say the graphics are really fucking good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Well, you can see screenshots online for Paragon. Yeah.
It's a beautiful game.
Yeah. So I'm excited to tell you guys about it.
So that's that mobile-like game, right?
It is a MOBA game.
Yeah. Yeah, that one does look good.
Oh, and the last one.
Best graphics in a MOBA.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. Easy. Well, it's very, it's kind
of
like...
Well, it's hard to compare it to some other MOBAs because a lot of these top-down MOBAs, the characters are so small that it's hard to see detail.
And they don't put polys on because they, you know...
Yeah, no point.
They're, a lot of MOBAs are trying to appeal to anybody that owns a PC.
Yeah.
Like, so League of Legends, you can run on a 386 probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like their Moxie.
Yeah. The Rise of the Tomb Raider, I finished... This week.
Were you satisfied with the ending and the whole story plot and all that?
The only complaint I kind of have on that is I didn't think the ending boss fight was epic enough.
Yeah.
But other than that, I loved the story and all.
But that's when you got to, like, make a like think about realism.
Yeah.
I guess, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, I played it on normal mode, and it was there was never any risk involved. So if I were to give a suggestion to people picking it up, I would say go ahead and go on the harder difficulty because you have a V button which heals you. I maybe healed 3 times the whole game. Like at no point did I have to heal myself. So I'm just seeing all these bushes and I can't pick anything up because my leaves are all full because I never had to heal myself. So that was my only. Kind of gripe. I mean, of course you die in Tomb Raider, but it's usually like you fall off a cliff or you...
Environmental.
You just do environmental stuff that kills you. So, that was... but, yeah, man.
Overall, you really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I'm trying to debate whether or not I like this one or the first one better. I think I like the first one better.
You know, she was hotter.
So well...
That helps.
And apparently what I'm interested in video games is hotness. So, but this one I really enjoyed too, so.
Cool. Moving on. What do you got for me, Bobby?
Scrolling down. Here we go. Esports. A lot of esports going on. The Shanghai Majors for Dota 2 is happening right now. And that's a big event because it's, you know, what I'm noticing as I'm paying more attention to esports is a lot of these competitive teams do not reveal their strategies until it matters.
Oh, gotcha.
So when I was hearing all this stuff like, oh, Evil Geniuses hasn't placed first in any competition or they haven't, or, you know, they've placed top three, but they just really haven't grabbed it. You know, you got to take into consideration that they're saving the best of the best for the big prize pools.
You're saying like sandbagging?
They're not sandbagging, but they're trying to get through with just their raw skill. There's no strategy involved in team comp and stuff. You know, like, they're saving, like, that kind of stuff.
So that's the most
mostly the drafts.
Yeah.
And is that the most interesting thing to you, Bobby? Showing their true colors?
That's why the International is such a big event. I mean, you know everyone is just given 110% on that. So that's always an interesting show. But the Shanghai Majors is a big deal too. So we're really starting to see what these teams can do. They're putting their best foot forward. A little bit of controversy with that we'll cover in news. But also, Heroes of the Storm, they're doing their...
Regional majors.
Yeah, their regionals in North America. So now that they're doing a type of seasonal thing, North America is having their regionals. This is after the European one. So the Europeans already had theirs.
And they get two in for each region? Is that how it works? And then two wild cards?
Except for Korea, right? Or am I wrong?
No.
Is it 8 total teams or is it 16 that they
I'm not sure how many are in the global championship. The global championship is being held in South Korea in April, but I don't know how many representatives are going to be from that country.
I think so it's cool 8. I think it's 2 from Korea, 2 from Europe, 2 from America, and then one from South America and one from Wildcard or something like that.
Yeah, so. I was thinking it wrong because I know the controversy came up that so many professional teams are in South Korea, but they're limited to 2.
Yeah.
Even though they're they're a tiny little country.
Yeah. Well, that's a bigger deal in League of Legends.
Right.
And possibly Dota. But there's been some problems with that in League. But yeah, it's been an interesting tournament, especially since this comes after some patch changes and it comes after the European regionals. And the Southeast Asian ones, people have kind of seen what they've done, established their own meta, and now they're having it out in this one. And it's been a good show to watch. A lot of fun there. They're hosting that on Twitch, but it'll all be over with by the time this episode airs, unfortunately.
How long has Dota gone through, do you know?
Because the Shanghai Majors?
Yeah, the Dota tournaments. I don't like playing Dota, but I love watching Dota. It's like watching a sport for me. You know, like, it would be me watching football or whatever. They're just so much fun to watch.
And yeah, remember that day that you watched esports over sports?
Yeah.
I forgot what you talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, there was football going on, and I ended up watching Dota streams.
Yeah.
But
so Dead Air sucks. Bobby, let's go back to the other page.
Yeah.
All right. So that's happening, but let's talk a little news. And referring to Dota 2 and the incident we were talking about earlier, Valve has fired their commentator for Dota 2.
I don't know if he was the commentator. He was definitely one of the hosts.
Well, he was the commentator for the U.S. or for the English language stream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's over there.
What was his handle or whatever? Started with a B.
Yeah, 2GD.
2GD, that's right. Yeah.
Basically, he was taking liberties with how far he could push the envelope.
Yeah, he was.
He dropped a C word, which is cunt, 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 yeah. cunt. Which, for our British people, you just use it all day, every day. But that's pretty much as taboo as you can get in America, is cunt, right?
Is it? See, some people say that, and I never really thought it was that offensive.
I think it's the most
offensive.
Something's got to be the most offensive. I think it's cunt.
I think it's the most offensive thing you can call a woman. I mean, kind of bitch has been played out a little bit.
If I called you a cunt, we'd probably laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have meant it seriously. Yeah, if you were, pretty, like, really serious.
I mean, what's higher on the hierarchy of insults, Bobby? Or foul language in America.
If you had to call...
Let me check my list.
Yeah. No, if you said my cunt isn't that high, you must find something else is higher.
No, I just didn't really... I don't know.
Something has to be the most offensive, Bobby. The Bobby Hamlet.
One word has to be the most offensive. Yeah. One word to rule them all. Why does it have to be...
My favorite insult is cock holster. If I had to pick one, I think cock holster is the way to go.
Cum receptacles count, but...
Wow. You went all the way. Just straight up.
But I feel
Mom,
like...
Mom, if you're listening...
Some people take...
Please delete the last 5 minutes.
Some people take pride in that being one of those, but... Okay, anyway.
Bobby's just shaking his head.
And he also... You said something about... He said something about Valve, but he didn't really, from what I
remember. Well, Valve fired him. Gabe Newell actually posted something on Twitter.
Yeah,
I think he just flat out said the guy's an ass. We've had problems with him before.
Yeah,
he's just basically being unprofessional. So that raises an interesting question. I mean, I'm sure the stream loved it, but you know, if you look at any Twitch stream chat, then
it's about as toxic as it gets.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But you know what I equate it to? When I watch the chat, which I try not to, in any event. I feel like I have the power to read people's minds, because if you're standing in a crowd and you're all looking at the same thing, there are things that jump into your head, but you don't say them unless, you know, you have a disorder. But, you know, normal people, most people have like a filter where they don't say things. So like I was watching the Heroes games, and, you know, they cut to the host, who's, you know, an attractive looking woman. And as soon as they show her, everyone's just like, sex, girl, yes, boobs. Yeah, boobs. And it's just like, you know, that's probably what's going through people's heads every time they see a woman. But nobody says that shit, because that would be weird.
Yeah.
Or they say, like, they're interviewing a guy, they're like, unibrow, what's up with that guy's teeth? Too white. And I'm like, this is the shit that goes through my head when I'm talking to people, but I don't say it because I'm not crazy. So, yes, Twitch chat is like having the power to read people's minds, is what I'm saying here.
Okay,
anyway.
But I also heard he had problems with, like, some senior producer at Valve.
They've had problems with him in the
past. They've had technical... Well, with this guy, yeah, too, being unprofessional. So they fired him. But they were having technical problems.
Like, isn't it new? This isn't NBC. NBC's going away.
I know,
NBC's going away.
Really? Valve goes all out to make sure that they have a very professional...
Yeah. The most professional.
Is that the move, though?
I think it is. I mean, if they want to be taken seriously...
Whom, though? Who is your audience? The audience is the internet.
I know, but...
Yeah, the internet are the people going, boob, sex, boob, boob, sex.
I know, but...
So maybe they need somebody from their ilk.
But
you know what I'm saying?
But at the end of the day, money rules all. And you could have 100 guys that say that was cool, but those 100 guys aren't contributing... or a million. I don't care. You could have some number, but all it takes is 10 rich old dudes to like it, and you get more money that way. You know, so they got.
There's just something about being professional, whether or not that appeals to people or not, whether or not they think it appeals to them or not. Like it actually makes a difference. If you go out and you're very professional and you present yourself in that way, then you look more credible than if you come out and you're just like, hey, what's up, guys? Fucking tits and shit. Like we do, kind of. Yeah. You know, but that's kind of our deal. So I just realized I defined ourselves. But I'm saying when you're dealing with that volume of people on that public of a podium.
Did we just burn ourselves?
Yeah,
apparently we did. Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of our angle. There's enough professional game journalists out there. We're the other guys. Yeah, you know, we're the wild card.
We might even call the episode that.
But I mean, if we were,
if
we were representing so many other people, if we were representing Dota 2, you know, then it would be different.
But, and honestly, Valve is a big company, and they don't want their name attached to something. Apparently, he did a whole bit where he was talking about how he couldn't masturbate his pre-show masturbation routine.
Yeah, he masturbated to like wheelchair funky ladies or something like that.
If you got a company of 10 people, you know, you can do stuff like that. But if you've got to protect 1,000 people and their reputations and everything like that, like. Yeah, you can't just do that stuff.
I don't know, guys. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're wrong.
I mean, here's the thing, dude. What if you were like tuning in NFL or something? You got the family over. You were going to watch like a football match after Thanksgiving dinner or something. And then like you got, I don't know, who's a NFL announcer just up there talking
about Al Michaels.
Yeah, you got Al Michaels talking about his dick and jerking off to Asian porn. I mean, it would be kind of weird, you know?
Different. That's the great American sport versus an internet game.
Yeah, but
internet games becoming the great American sport, though.
Hey!
If you want it to be legitimate, you got to treat it like it is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I support that.
I'm playing devil's advocate here mostly. I feel that you also have to play to your audience to some extent.
It's true.
So, maybe somewhere in between. Maybe you took it too far.
And they probably hired this guy knowing he probably didn't change his routine. After he got hired by Valve, he's probably doing this the whole time.
Right.
He's a Twitch streamer, I think.
And this is the best thing that could have happened to him. He's going to...
Yeah.
His podcast, if he has one, is going to blow up after
this.
Or his
Twitch stream or whatever.
Whatever it is, yeah.
He's in the headlines. And that's all it takes, America.
And we didn't name him, so fuck you, bro.
2GD.
Oh, 2GD, but we don't know. I can't remember
Justin,
his real name.
I want to say, but...
Started with a J. There's a J in there.
Ubisoft is in danger of a hostile takeover. How crazy is this? So there's a mobile company that has a buku bucks, and they're buying up the majority share. They have 15 now, and they're going to go into the majority share pretty soon.
Okay.
Ubisoft asked the Canadian government to give them money to buy more shares so they could give more shares to Canadians so that they can hold on to their company, basically.
Wow.
And it's so weird because they're, you know, this is one of those risks that you take when you go public.
Yeah,
these are one of the most profitable and biggest companies in PC gaming, period. And still, they're under fire from a hostile takeover. And it's a mobile company, so who knows? Like, in my mind, when I think about what's going on, that they're going to take over Ubisoft and just make them make mobile games the whole time.
Microtransaction the shit out of Ubisoft.
Fucking crazy, right?
Yeah.
And Ubisoft is, you know, they're kind of like the man.
But is this, is this the whole company, Ubisoft, or is this one studio of them? I'm sorry, did I miss that part?
That's what I thought, that it was going to be.
Because they're a huge company. They're all over the world.
That's what happens, though. You know, when you're on the global market, that if somebody has enough money, I was trying to explain this to Sam earlier, how this works. Once you say, I share myself with everybody, somebody can take the majority part of yourself by just buying it.
If you don't hold on to the majority.
You can't. I don't think you have a choice. You can't say that this part of my company is unbuyable.
But yeah, but if you hold on to 51% of your shares, you can't get hostile. You can't do a hostile takeover.
Because the more that they buy, the less shares you have. Because the
worse. Well, you don't have to sell your shares.
Yeah, you can do it how you want.
Right, but the price of them change.
It's correct.
Yeah.
So you're selling your shares off to make money, but you pull this risk up.
Right. So, who knows what's going to happen with Ubisoft. Hopefully, I mean, I like where they're at right now. They give us a game every other year that we really like.
Yeah.
You know, and fucking Far Cry Primal, you know, I'm looking forward to
that. I mean, there's been
that,
a lot of games that have been released under them. I mean, not even just the big ones like Assassin's Creed, but things like Valiant Hearts or...
Yeah. They're like, kind of like... Their indie versions of mm-hmm. games have been really Child of Light, I think.
Yeah, Child really of like. Light. Yeah.
So, question for you. If you were to give a top three of publishers, would you put Ubisoft on top three? I gotta go Blizzard number one. But after that...
Blizzard...
I can't really put Valve...
Bethesda's number one for me, and then... And then
Blizzard.
Blizzard. And then after that, I don't know, it gets kind of shady.
Because you're not putting EA up there.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's putting EA.
Yeah. Although, I got our next news story is Battlefield 5 is going to be set in one world.
It's come full circle because their first Battlefield game was 1942 based on World War II.
Yeah.
So we've done the donut.
So
nice.
There's not a whole lot to say about this except for I've never been interested in World War I. At all, like as a war, until I listened to a podcast. So, obviously, you listen to us. You like podcasts. Hardcore History by Dan Carlin is the best podcast there is. If you listen to Wrath of the Khans and don't like it, I don't know. Fucking lose my number because it is the best podcast that has ever been made ever. That's how good that is. So then I listened
right to behind all ours, right?
Yeah,
like all of ours.
Yeah.
And then
we've made 115 or so.
18. Yeah. We're on episode 118.
Yeah. So, and then he did one on World War I. And again, I went into this being like, this is the most boring war of all time. And it couldn't have been more interesting. It was amazing. Like, World War I is like a war that will never, ever happen again because the front lines never changed. There was a front line and it just stayed there for years and years and years. And the bodies just piled and piled and piled to the point where you're using bodies as structures. And people are shooting through holes in their buddies, in stacks of their buddies. And the buddies at the bottom are 3 years old. And then the next layer is 2 years old and 1 year old on top of them. And there's just feces and there's mustard gas. And you just don't go. And somewhere in all of this, Christmas came around, and both sides came out and had a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Like, they had a ceasefire to have a Christmas party. Of course, the bosses put the end to that. That was the only time it ever happened, but it is a super interesting war.
I think it was the last war with mounted cavalry or whatever.
That yes,
was
used. This is when mm-hmm. cavalry...
Yeah, World War I was right around the time where warfare was really changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was huge.
A lot of chemical warfare. It'll be interesting to see what EA does with it. I'm hoping that stuff will come through in the game and we won't get... Because the last one we got from them was the Star Wars game, which was great for a lot of reasons, but just a little too simplified for most people.
Yeah.
They do their due diligence, I feel like. EA does.
Yeah.
So hopefully they all these incredible things...
Well, this is
things,
DICE, right? Isn't this DICE that does these?
That's who, I think, yeah. They're a publisher. Well, they're a...
Developer,
and then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So hopefully... I mean, the incredible stories that are in this. The guy who wrote J.R.R. Tolkien, mm-hmm. he was in this trench warfare. And the guy, Dan Carlin, over and over, he's like, you have to think that his ideas of Mordor came up while he was in this hell.
Yeah.
This hell that never changed, where you're shitting right next to your fighting. Oh, geez. Amazing podcast. Almost brought me to tears. That's how good it is.
Yeah. Apparently, according to your girlfriend, everything brings you to tears.
Boy, yeah, I'm a big bitch. That's a huge bitch.
What else we got going on?
I think that's it.
I think that's a wrap.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, we talk a bit. I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah, you said you were sick, and then you proceeded to talk for 45 minutes.
Isn't that how we do it every week? Yeah. I don't know what we're going to talk about, guys, half an hour or an hour and a half later. We better wrap this up.
Yeah.
So what's the coming week looking like? We're trying to set up some listener interviews. So we'll be contacting some people, see if we can get some times and some days that work for you.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. We've been meaning to do this for weeks, and we just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, we got another interview or two kind of in the works as well, but we'll see what comes of that. No big announcements yet. This coming week, I'm so excited about Doom. I know that's not coming till May, but God, I'm ready for that game. I'll probably play more Hitman Absolution, and I've been trying to find someone to play Trine 3 with me. I want to finish that game, but...
What the fuck you, dude? You were like, we were all over here, yeah. And I was like, let's play Trine 3, right? And I don't know about that game.
Was that Bobby or was that...
No, yeah. It was Bobby. We were over here with three controllers.
No, we ended up playing Rocket League that night, and we had a great time. But, I mean, I'd like to play Trine 3 from the comfort of my own home, because you can play that game. I have an extra copy of it.
Not with us.
Yeah. I've been...
No, I.e., not with us.
I've suggested it to you guys, but everyone's turning me down. I have a free copy of this game.
I want to play. I'm ready.
All right. And it's...
I guess that's happening. But you guys are also playing...
No, I take offense because...
You guys are also
really
playing
want to play that game.
Divinity together, too.
I love that game so much.
Yeah, that game.
So much that I want to play another game with you with four characters.
Okay.
And you haven't really got into it that much.
So. I don't have the extended edition.
If you bought the original you have the new one. Okay. I have put well over 100 hours in that game, but on three different playthroughs. So my longest one, I probably about 80%. And then the other one, maybe 20 or 30. And then the newest one.
You're just guessing, though, right? They don't have like a...
Oh, no. I've looked up how many, like all the quest lines and everything like that. So I have a good idea of where I'm at. But in the enhanced edition, got a ways to go on that.
When I beat Rise of the Tomb Raider, I beat it with 84% completion, which is pretty good. So I kind of want to go back and see what else I've missed. But I also want to beat Honey Pop. So
not bad.
He probably says I'm bad. Yeah. And Bobby and I played some Heroes of Storm, and I was having a blast. Except every time I play with Bobby, I lose. So I'm starting to think that maybe Bobby's terrible at the game, and that's yeah, why I always
that must
lose.
Be it.
That's why I always lose at the game.
Guys, so. let me clue you in on maybe why Chad sucks so much. His mouse space total is 4 inches wide. If he needs to turn 180 degrees, that's three pickups of the mouse to turn 180, not even 360. He needs to literally pick up his mouse and reset it over. I'm watching him do this. And
I don't even realize I'm doing it.
The only thing I can think of is he loves to lose. He likes the drama. He likes to fight. He yells, you know.
He wants to stay hungry.
Man.
Hungry for that win.
Man, well, it's bad.
Related to this, Emilio's setup, he's got like these like blisters on his desk.
Yeah, but I have a mouse pad.
He's got these blisters on his desk right where he puts his mouse. And every time I try to use his mouse, it just doesn't work right because he's got these like bubbles that are right there where he puts the mouse. I have no idea how he can do this.
Those are cum receptacles.
Yep.
All right. Cool. So, wrapping it up, speaking for Bobby, speaking for Chad,
yep,
and speaking for myself, I'm a little tired, so we're going to go with Big Purple Cox.
Big Purple Cox.
Thank you, everybody.
It's really good. It's a good one.
Thanks for listening. Mahalo.